Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. How much has it cost us to become subservient to the Jewish power structure? How much has it cost us to open our borders and embrace multiracialism, which we did largely at their insistence? How much has it cost us to see our once shining cities gutted and turned into filthy ghettos? How much has it cost us to support the Jewish state of Israel? How much has it cost us to come under the financial tyranny of their banks and their debt money system? I usually don't quantify our problems as white Americans in dollars and cents, but let's make an exception today. Sometimes it's valuable to look at things from an economic perspective just to get a feeling for the enormity of the problem. Let's try to answer those questions in the most cautious and careful way we can. Since the founding of the State of Israel in 1948, the mainly white taxpayers of the United States have funneled some $134 billion in direct aid to the racial nationalist Jewish state, while the Jewish minority has labored mightily and successfully to prevent us from having anything even faintly resembling racial nationalism here or in any white nation. The $134 billion, a figure from 1997, so the current total is much higher, does not include special favors such as huge loans, which don't have to be paid back, special tax status for private donations to Israel and Israeli causes, spending on cooperative military and intelligence projects, and the like. It doesn't include the interest which we might have earned on this money had we not handed it over to the Jews, and it also is not inflation-adjusted for the micro-dollars we are forced to use in 2014. And that single factor alone could easily double the total figure, since inflation of the money supply means that 1948 dollars really should be counted as 10 or more dollars each, and 1975 dollars as 5 or more dollars each. So the figure of $134 billion is really very, very conservative. Just as conservative is the figure of $70 billion out and out given to Egypt since 1979. This also does not include inflation, special military projects, etc. Why should aid to Egypt be included? For the very simple reason that, as I've been saying for 20 years, the huge amount of money we give to Egypt is part of a deal under which we pay off the successively more corrupt Egyptian governments, and in return, they agree not to make war on Israel or try to get back any of the territory Israel took from them in 1967. Thus, this aid to Egypt is a direct result of Jewish influence on the government of the United States. There is abundant proof of this, but perhaps the most direct confirmation comes from a secret cable sent from the U.S. Embassy in Cairo in March 2009 that was recently made public by WikiLeaks. I'll quote from that cable, quote, "President Mubarak and military leaders view our military assistance program as the cornerstone of our military-to-military relationship, and consider the $1.3 billion in annual foreign military financing as untouchable compensation for making and maintaining peace with Israel." Close quote. Just as certain as the fact that Egypt's aid is really to benefit the Jewish state is the fact that the war on terror and the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq were fought to advance Israeli interests. The plans for these conflicts were laid long in advance by Jewish neoconservative groups seeking to increase Israeli hegemony over the Middle East, to weaken and destroy strong Arab and Muslim states there, and to have American soldiers do all the dying required to achieve those goals. The 9/11 attacks were used as an emotional weapon by these groups, with the strong cooperation of the Jewish-controlled mass media, to induce Americans to support these wars, which began in 2001 and show no signs of ending. The longest conflicts by far in American history. Unless something radical happens soon, tomorrow's teenagers will have known the war on terror their entire lives. It has become a permanent, ugly feature of the American landscape. Measuring the costs of the Afghan and Iraq wars alone, we come up with a figure of $6 trillion, which, to put it in perspective with the aid figures just cited, is the same as saying $6,000 billion. This does not count overt and covert incursions into Pakistan or other neighboring states, the secret but doubtlessly huge CIA budget for black operations and illegal missile strikes on non-belligerents in the region. And it does not at all include the gigantic costs for the erection of the domestic spying and national security establishment set up to fight terror and keep tabs on Israel's enemies in the U.S., which also were justified as part of the war on terror in the aftermath of 9/11. So my $6 trillion figure is also very, very conservative. One of the unique features of the Jewish power structure is its fanatical adoption of racial nationalism. Not all that different from its nemesis, National Socialism, for its own people in Israel, coupled with its equally fanatical opposition to racial nationalism among whites. The organized Jewish groups almost universally support Israel as a Jewish, read, racial state, while at the same time demonizing and, where possible, criminalizing the adoption or espousal of racial nationalism among whites. No greater power was brought to bear to forcibly integrate blacks into American life, including our bedrooms, than that of organized Jewry. No group has been more vociferous in favor of opening our borders to invasion than have the Jewish groups. No greater force exists in academia than the entirely Jewish Frankfurt School and its descendants, pushing a philosophy of racial denigration, dehumanization, and genocide against whites. And the Jewish-dominated media speak with one voice. White racial consciousness or preference of any kind is racism, and an evil so terrible that it must be eliminated at any cost. Without these monumental Jewish efforts, it is quite likely that America today would be even whiter than the more than 90% peak we achieved in the mid-1960s, just before our selective immigration laws were abandoned and the legal barriers to racial mixing were declared invalid without a vote. So it is reasonable to place the cost of supporting the ever-increasing population of non-whites on our list. Since 1965, federal expenditures for welfare were $17 trillion, and the total expenditures were $24 trillion. The rate is increasing exponentially, and we are now spending over $1 trillion per year. One often hears the canard that most welfare recipients are white, but this is not true. More than 60% of welfare recipients are non-white, even though non-whites only account for somewhat under 40% of the U.S. population, according to official U.S. government statistics. So, if we take the total figure of $24 trillion in welfare and assign only half of it to the cost of Jewish-sponsored multiracialism, we have $12 trillion to add to our costs. This doesn't count the interest we've had to pay on borrowing almost all of this money from the bankers, nor does it take into account inflation, which has been severe since 1965, and it doesn't factor in the interest and growth that would have been in our favor if that money had been invested instead of spent on Big Macs for Lucretia and Jamal. It doesn't factor in the heavy load placed by non-whites on our criminal justice and healthcare systems. It doesn't count the costs of the constant cycles of destruction, reconstruction, and repeated destruction in our inner cities. I could go on listing the things it doesn't include. So this figure of $12 trillion is extremely, almost unbelievably, conservative. And what about the direct costs to white American families, literally millions of whom have had to flee those inner cities? Just the cost of moving, which often involves selling at a loss and establishing a new home, is huge. Consider Detroit, once a shining jewel of a city and home to a large and prosperous white population, and now an almost lawless and devastated third world slum, one step above Mogadishu. If we estimate that the 1.1 million who have fled that city suffer just $150,000 each in losses and repurchase costs, surely an underestimate, we have a figure of $165 billion for Detroit alone. Add in St. Louis, Philadelphia, Chicago, and Buffalo, and you easily have three times that figure. And that's just the beginning of the cities where white flight became imperative. And I'm not even counting the dreams that were crushed because affirmative action kept white families from prospering as they should. I'm not even taking into account the losses from violence and crime. But let's be cautious, almost ridiculously cautious, and just double the Detroit alone, relocation alone figures. The result is $330 billion. Everything I've enumerated so far adds up to $18.5 trillion, more than the entire astronomical national debt of the United States. But I've saved the best for last. Dwarfing all these horrific costs, borne by white Americans because of the actions of the organized Jewish minority over the last half century, and dwarfing them even if we include the $4.5 trillion costs of World Wars I and II, our participation in which were both largely due to organized Jewish machinations, and happening not over a period of many decades, but in just the last few years, is the multi-trillion dollar bailout of the predominantly Jewish banking system. This bailout is an outright giveaway to a group of vultures so greedy that even the right to create money out of thin air couldn't save them. A series of blatant payoffs, phony guaranteed loans, which were really gifts, and even payoffs to foreign bankers, all happening while millions of healthy white American families were driven to the wall by unemployment and loan foreclosure. The total cost, including payments from the Treasury and the Federal Reserve for this bailout, is $29.5 trillion. With just the stroke of a pen, and in just a few months' time, we gave or guaranteed these vampires more than the entire cost of World War I, World War II, and the entire U.S. welfare establishment since 1965 combined. In calculating the costs we have borne as a people for the highly questionable privilege of being ruled by Jewish supremacists, I've been very conservative with my figures. And I don't claim to be all-inclusive. I am sure that many other costs could be added. But nevertheless, the total cost for our servitude and degradation I have enumerated so far comes out to an astounding $48 trillion, almost three times the current national debt of the United States, and almost twice our gross domestic product. Looked at on a more personal and understandable level, that is more than $240,000 for every single white man, woman, and child in the United States. About $750,000 for every family of three. How would our lives be different? How would America be different if we had kept this wealth for ourselves? And not just the dollars, but the benefits that would have accrued if we had been able to invest this wealth in productive enterprise and use the power of legitimate compounding gains for us instead of against us as debt. How many new scientific research laboratories might have been endowed? How many spaceports constructed? How many worlds explored? How many more brilliant students would have been educated? And how many more amazing discoveries would have been made? Today, our brightest students graduate already weighed down with crippling bank debt, unable in many cases to even dream of marrying and having children. The best of our kind are dying out. Would we be in this predicament if we had kept this wealth for ourselves, if the organized Jewish minority had never blessed our shores? How would life be for you and your family without debt and with hundreds of thousands in productive wealth, free and clear, available for your use, even if it was in the form of guarantees and interest-free credit? How much stronger would we be as a nation? How much better could we help the truly needy and unfortunate among us? How much better would we be able to protect our genetic and cultural heritage and defend against invaders? How much more secure? And above all, how much better could we provide for the only future we really have? Our children and their children and so on into infinity. What we have given up, not just this wealth, but our entire future. Two generations and more of white Americans have been irresponsible fools. When the world's wealthiest and most powerful ethnic group told them a transparently phony story of how poor and persecuted they were, they fell for it and gave the keys to their homes and their treasure and their seats of power to the Jewish establishment. And now, our children's future, our entire race's future, is in serious jeopardy. If you are one of the few who can see the truth of what I am telling you, and you want to help awaken those who are capable of being awakened while there is still time, let me hear from you today. You've been listening to American Dissident Voices, the radio program of the Reconstituted National Alliance Membership Organization, founded by William Luther Pierce in 1970. This program is published every week at whitebiocentrism.com and nationalvanguard.org. Please write to us at National Alliance, Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. We welcome your support, your inquiries, and your help in spreading our message of hope to our people. Once again, that address is Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. Until next week, this is Kevin Alfred Strom reminding you to do right and fear no one.
For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have our rebirth.